Welcome. Gospel Harvest International is the evangelistic ministry of Itumeleng and Lindy Mokganye. This ministry is devoted to winning souls and igniting the church to do likewise. As you are listening to this message, we pray that God's word would position and empower you to take the harvest in your world.
My friends, I'm continuing with our series, Learning to Follow the Spirit. And in this third part, I just want to continue to share key principles to help us how to learn to follow the leading of God's Spirit in our day and age. And I want to speak about putting out a fleece. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27, the Bible says, "A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of flesh, and I will give you a heart, or a stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh," the Bible says. "And I," God says, "will put my spirit in you." In putting out a fleece, one prays usually something like this: "Lord, if you want me to do this, then you do that. Oh God, if you want me to do this, then have that happen. Oh Lord, shut the door and open this door." Some of those doors, the devil might even shut. And some of them, the devil might even open. You see, in this world, we're in the devil's territory. The Bible calls him the God of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. So God has a better way of leading his children than by a hit and miss method such as using a fleece in our covenant. The New Testament does not say, "As many as are led by fleeces, they are the children of God." Yes, someone might say, but Gideon put out a fleece back in the Old Testament. Why go back under the Old Covenant? We have something a lot better. The Old Covenant is for those who are spiritually dead. I'm not spiritually dead. I'm alive, and I have the Spirit of God in me. Remember, Gideon was not a prophet, a priest, or a king. Only those three offices under the Old Covenant were anointed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was not personally present with the rest of the people. That's why every male had to present himself at the temple in Jerusalem once a year. The Shekinah glory, the presence of God, was kept shut in the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died on Calvary, the curtain and the curtain of Holy of Holies was rent, torn from top to bottom, and God moved out. We know that it would have been humanly impossible to do that. So that was a supernatural sign that God himself was removing the veil. And he has never dwelled in earth-made houses since. He dwells in us. So it's dangerous for us as New Testament spirit-filled Christians to put out fleeces. We know that from the Word of God, and you should know that from experience. So a key thing in learning to follow the leading of the Spirit is learning to follow the witness. Psalm 18 verse 28 says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." You see, the Bible says, "He that believeth shall not make haste." Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16. You see, faith doesn't get in a hurry. The devil will try to push you. He will say, "Hurry up, hurry up, hurry, hurry, hurry." He'll make everything haste and cause you to abandon the witness of the Spirit within. He will try to move you out of faith and move you into doubt and move you into unbelief and get you away from the leading of the Lord. But my friends, that's not how God leads. God leads us by an inward voice as well as an inward witness. He said, he's not going to give us necessarily a supernatural sign. Sometimes and many times, God primarily leads his children through the inward witness. So it's firstly the inward witness, but secondly, God can lead us through the inward voice. In Romans chapter 9 verse 1, the Bible says this. Paul says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit." So the number one way that the Spirit guides us is through the inward witness. The number two way is by the inward voice. The inward man, who is a spirit man, your spirit man internally, has a voice. Just as your outward man has a voice that we all get to enjoy or frown upon when you open your mouth. We call this voice the voice of the man, the inward man, the conscience. It's a still small voice. Your spirit has a voice. Your spirit will speak to you. But there's a reason why it's called a still small voice. You see, when a person whispers, you have to be close enough to hear. And that's a big key in hearing the voice of God. Being close enough, being in intimacy with Him, enjoying fellowship with Him, that enables you to be able to hear Him as He leads. The effects of the Spirit's indwelling, Acts chapter 23, verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." You know something? It's so interesting to go through the epistles of Paul that he wrote to the church and see what he said about his conscience. You'll notice that he always obeyed it. Is your conscience a safe guide? Yes. If your spirit has become a new man in Christ, and I'm assuming that you're abiding in his word and his word is abiding in you, it's because you can trust your conscience, because it's the voice of your spirit. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." These things take place in a man's spirit, in the inward man. He is first a new creature, a brand new man in Christ. Second, all things have passed away. The old nature of the devil in his spirit is gone. Third, all things have become new in his spirit, not in his body or his mind. Now he has the nature of God in his spirit. So if your spirit is a new man with the life and nature of God in it, it's a safeguard. A person who's not been born again could not follow the voice of the Spirit. His spirit is unregenerate. His conscience wouldn't permit him to do anything. When you have the life and the nature of God in you, your conscience will not permit you to just do anything. And if you are born again, you have the life of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Someone said, "That just means we're going to live forever in heaven." No, it doesn't just mean that. Consider what 1 John chapter 5 verse 13 says. It says, "These things I've written unto you, that you would believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life." Have is in the present tense. We have eternal life now. If you are a born-again Christian, you have the life of God in your spirit now. You have the nature of God in your spirit now. Oh, if you would just learn to follow the leading of your spirit and listen to the voice of your conscience, my friend, that is the way ultimately to prosperity. Oh yes, it is. Let's talk a little bit about two experiences that we see in the New Testament. In Acts chapter number 8 verse 5, 12 and then 14 to 7, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And when they believed Philip preaching these things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, whom when came down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." They were only baptized in water. "Then he laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." You see, under the new covenant, every child of God has the Spirit of God. If you're born again, the Spirit of God is in your spirit. We do need to differentiate between being born again and being filled with the Spirit. The born again Christian can be filled with the Spirit that he already has in him. And when he's filled with the Spirit, there will be an overflowing. He'll speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives him utterance, as seen in Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Bible scholars know that water is a type of the Spirit of God in Scripture. Jesus himself used water as a type of the Spirit. He used it as a type of the new birth when he spoke to the woman at the well of Samaria in John chapter 4. In verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that says to you, 'Give me drink,' that you would have asked of him and he would have given living water." The woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again," natural water that being, "but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him or her shall be in them a well of water springing into everlasting life." Jesus also used water as a type of Spirit in the infilling of the Holy Spirit when he speaks in John chapter 7 verse 37 to 39. In the last day, the Bible says, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That he that believes on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which if they believe in him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." There are two different experiences here. The new birth is a well of water in you, springing into everlasting life. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is described as rivers, not just one river. The water in the well is for one purpose. The water in the well is for your benefit. It blesses you. It quenches your thirst. It brings the new birth about. The water in the rivers is for another purpose. The rivers flowing out of you is always to bless others. Some people say, if you are born of the Spirit, you have the Spirit, and that's all there is. But no, just because you had one drink of water is no sign that you're full of the water. There is an experience subsequent to the new birth of being filled with the Spirit. And as a result of the belly, the innermost being the Spirit, rivers of living waters can flow. Others say that people who are not filled with the Spirit, speaking with other tongues, do not have the Holy Spirit. That's not true. If I drink half a glass of water, I may not be full, but at least I have water in me. If one is born of the Spirit, he has the Spirit of God abiding in him. But we're invited also to go one step further and have the infilling, which the Bible speaks about in a continued presence tense. We need to be continually filled with the Spirit of God, which is a key aspect in being led by the Spirit of God and having the realization that God is on the inside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16 says, "For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." If you are born again, the Holy Spirit is living and abiding in your spirit. He's living and abiding not in your head, not in your body. In a sense, yes, but not exactly in the way that we might think. The only reason your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit is because your body is a temple of your own spirit. The Holy Spirit abides in your spirit, and he communicates with you through your spirit. He does not communicate directly with your mind. He's not in your mind. He's in your spirit. He communicates through your spirit, of course, and your spirit does reach and influence ultimately your mind. So the Holy Spirit is abiding in your spirit. It's your spirit that picks up the things, the impulses, the promptings, as the Bible says, and is commonly known, of the Spirit, then passes them onto your mind by an inward intuition or an inward witness. Jesus said, "If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him." In his passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit's coming. Jesus and the Father, in the person of the Spirit, come to abide in us. An abode is a place where one lives. Another translation says, we will come unto him and make our home with him. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, said, know you not that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Another translation says, the Spirit of God is at home in you. That's where he lives, in you. The Bible says, for you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Put those three scriptures together. John 14:23, 1 Corinthians 3:16, and 2 Corinthians 6:16. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? For you are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. We have not yet plumbed the depth of what God is really saying. He says, I will dwell in them, I will live in them, I will walk with them. God, if God is dwelling in us, he is then, that is where we will speak to us. He is. God is dwelling in us, and he will speak with us through our spirit. My friend, I hope these have been helpful as you better learn how to learn to follow the Lord. Trust me, in the days that are coming ahead, it will be of utmost importance that you learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for my friends. Thank you that your word is true when it says, your sheep hear your voice, a voice of a stranger they do not follow. Thank you, my Father, that you don't say your sheep will maybe. No, you make it a surety that those who are born again are positioned to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear continually what you would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you were blessed by this message, consider how you can get involved and join hands with us in winning rural Africa for Jesus. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website at gospelharvest.co.za for more information or sermons like this one.